Hello, and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Last time I'm going to say that this year. Well, we got a great, great show for you. We save it up for the last show of the year, the big show, where we do the year in review. We poll our listeners. We have all kinds of stuff. Who's the big Catholic media source of the year? What do people feel about the various news stories, the world news stories, the church news stories, all of that? And then we'll get to the story of the year, the pro-life person of the year, Catholic person of the year. That's the big reveal at the end. Who is the Catholic person of the year this year? And we have all of this fun with the flannel panel. Joe Heschmeyer, apologist here at Catholic Answers, who had a wonderful book this year, The Eucharist is Really Jesus. Joe Heschmeyer, thanks for being with us.
You know, when you say we save it up for the end of the year, it makes it sound like we're intentionally bad the first 364 and a half days.
I wouldn't say intentionally.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, we're not saving it up on purpose. This is just
no, but
we're trying our best all year.
This is the
just
day we really try. We actually put effort into this show, Joe. So, also on the flannel panel, the president of Catholic Answers, Chris Cech, a noted media personality here in Southern California. Hello, Chris Cech.
I don't feel like I put any more effort into this show than the others.
Actually, you put less effort into this because I don't let either of you put any effort into this show. The whole point of this show is I know the answers to our survey, and these two don't know the answers. So their responses will be spontaneous and probably shocked in many cases.
Well, this is more like Catholic questions, ignorant answers.
Are you going to just leave that mystery hanging about why I'm a famous Southern California media personality?
Oh, I thought that maybe the whole world would know.
Look, they already know this.
In many ways, 2023 was a tough year, but it was a great year in our neighborhood because we're getting a Trader Joe's.
It's true.
And so Chris was down there at the bank next to the Trader Joe's.
The credit union.
The credit union.
Yeah.
The
local, I'm a Catholic.
I bank. I'm sorry. I'm still Catholic. The local news was there. And they wanted to know people's opinions about Trader Joe's. And boy, did Chris have opinions for them.
I did. Yeah.
I want to just say San Diego County has 3.2 million people. I just checked. And the big news is we got a grocery store.
Well, we don't have any sports teams. We don't. We have the Padres. But again, the big news is a grocery store.
No, it's not that San Diego got it. It's that Santee, which is Santee. Just a couple miles here from the Catholic Answers office.
Yeah, where we live, where we are, Joe.
East County. Go East County.
It's a little different than the rest of San Diego in that it has a rodeo grounds.
We do.
So you can understand how we're slightly different than the rest of Southern California.
Yeah. I think people need to get these little insights into how unlike the stereotype of California they may have in their head East County is in so many ways, where it's like, you can get really good Mexican food. You also have like rodeo stuff. And where are you?
Right.
You
there's a lot of big trucks with four wheels on the back of them.
And the occasional Confederate flag.
Well, now, Chris, we don't talk about that. But there is, yes. Yeah, there's a different sentiment, let's say, in this part of California. I want to say Happy Old Year to you, which is a thing I'm going to try to get started, like on the last day of the year. Like people say Happy New Year. On the first day of the year, I feel like we should start saying Happy Old Year. Do you think I can get something going
maybe
there?
Yeah, say good afternoon at the last possible minute also, and instead of saying good evening a minute later.
Yeah, that's a
or
perfect analogy,
Joe. Or you good morning at 11:55.
You're
just like, hey, good morning. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, well, now it's afternoon.
Yeah, so what's wrong with Happy Old Year? We don't have anything to end the year with. I feel like Happy Old Year is the way to go.
You know, I think in Italy they have a convention like that. I think after 3 p.m. you can say Buonasera. Because sera sort of covers evening and afternoon. It's after 3 p.m., after 4 p.m., something
But
like
I
that.
Always get it wrong, and then they say whatever the other thing that I was supposed to say is. Yeah. Like, I'm not a good judge of...
Buongiorno?
Yeah, probably.
Or Bon Pomeriggio is technically how you say good afternoon, but nobody says it.
Yeah. No, I think they say buongiorno. I think they're like, dude, Sarah. The sun is still up. What are you, an American? All right, so we're going to go through all these big categories that we surveyed our listeners on. And when I say we surveyed our listeners, we have Radio Club, where people have volunteered their email addresses, and we stay in touch with them, and they help us on stuff. We ask them questions, and thousands of people are in that. We also have another group called Society 315, and those are our monthly donors. Anybody who's a monthly donor can be in Society 315. If you're a monthly donor now and you are not a member of Society 315, oops! An error on someone's part, but we would love to get you in there. And then we asked those two groups a bunch of questions. Among them, All the things that I just mentioned. I do have to go through a rule, however, though. We were going to do this over 2 days. Usually we do with the publishing department, we do the first day, and then with you guys, we do the second day. And the publishing department kind of gets the world news, and you guys kind of get the Catholic news. But because a staff member had a baby early, we couldn't schedule two shows to record for the end of the year.
Yes.
So you guys are getting all
baby Ezra.
Baby Ezra, yeah, little baby Ezra, who's a sweet, cute little baby.
Zach and Shannon Maxwell.
Ezra Maxwell.
Yeah, Shannon's the only one in that family who doesn't have a Z in her name.
Well,
what's her middle name?
Are you going to be full of all these interesting facts today? Fascinating
people need more
things.
Maxwell facts. Yeah.
Ezra Maxwell, possible superhero, possible supervillain. I don't know which, how he's going to turn out, but that's a superpower name, Ezra Maxwell.
Ezra Colby Maxwell.
Oh, come on. Oh, after Maximilian Colby?
I gather.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
I don't think it's Colby Cheese. They were trying to get as many different letters of the alphabet in there as they could without making it obvious. Like, they got their Z, they got their K.
This is going to be,
they got their X.
If they play a game of Scrabble where you can use your own name, Ezra's going to kill it.
You know, I saw a picture.
I've not done the research, but if I had to guess which staff family member had the highest Scrabble scoring name, Ezra Colby Maxwell is my vote.
Yeah, that probably is.
It's a cute baby.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like Shannon.
But how often do you see a I don't know. Maybe
Don't answer that. That's a trap.
There are some ugly babies. I get it.
They take a while.
But, all right. Look, I have to lay down a rule. You all have to respect me for these next 2 hours. Because when I move you along, you can't get into these loops we sometimes get into as a final.
I like how you started that rule and then we got into one of those loops. This is going to go really well.
You have to respect me because we have a lot of material to cover.
At the end, can we find out who respected you the most? Will you declare?
Yes, I will declare who respected me the most. And Jack.
Final panel member of the year.
Jack and Darren, if you could keep track of the respect level in here, that would be helpful
to me as well.
I'd like your input.
I'm so going to kill you on this, Joe.
I'm also voting for you.
Let's start with Catholic Media Source of the Year. The least interesting category of all of them. Look, at the Catholic Media Source of the Year, if you're being asked by Catholic Answers what the Catholic Media Source of the Year is, the answer is Catholic Answers. What are you people doing? I am so offended by some of these answers. We are in the top two, but it's virtually a tie with EWTN. So maybe people associate us with EWTN, so I'm gonna take credit for all of that. And we love EWTN. But the one and two are us and EWTN. And I'm saying we're in a virtual tie, meaning EWTN might maybe got slightly more votes than we did. I don't want to reveal that part.
Came in the top two.
But those are good Catholic media sources. Let me ask you if you know some of these others and what your a thing called Pints Aquinas or Pints with Aquinas. What, anybody ever heard of that?
They just had a show with a fellow by the name of Joe Heschmeyer.
Yeah, they did.
They're moving
December
up in the world.
20th.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What's it like behind the scenes of that media empire?
Apparently they don't start on time.
Yeah, I was saying that before the show that it was like we were going to record at 10 o'clock and we started recording at 11:30.
It's so. Australian time.
Yeah, it's my mistake.
is this a network or is this just an assertion? America needs Fatima. Is that do you know that as a media source?
That's the TFP, folks.
Oh, okay. Yep. You have to say what TFP is.
Tradition Family Property. It's sort of an unusual sort of.
Is this news from 2023 or is this news from like 1943?
What is wrong with you? Also, in other news, something called National Catholic Register. Have you heard of this?
That's good.
That rings a bell. Registers.
Also, they're good. They do a good job.
Yes.
Also, Catholic Answers Live was picked by some people as a separate media source than Catholic Answers. So if we added those two up, we would beat EWTN.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say thank you.
We don't have
to
editors
people
on this end, obviously. So this is the unfiltered side.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
You can't say just stupid stuff because Todd or somebody is going to stop you on the editing side. Like the stuff that's published.
Right. So, but you can say stupid stuff here on Catholic Answers Live. Yes. If you couldn't, I don't think that I could work here.
So media here is a loaded word or it's an involved word.
Right.
Catholic Answers is a media apostolate.
Sure. Right.
We move in almost every media.
But we're not a news apostolate.
Right.
Is that where you're going?
Yes, exactly. So sometimes when people say media, they mean news.
Oh, that's a very good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. That's true.
But some people
I use them interchangeably.
Some people put formed on here. Which is not at all the news source. Others put LifeSite News. LifeSite News did pretty well.
Which is very newsy.
They're yeah. very newsy. Sometimes, occasionally kind of cranky to me. I don't know. I that's my impression of them. Are you afraid to... Whoa, you guys clammed up quick.
I have one article written about me that I didn't think was incredibly accurate.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, so I'm a little biased. But I think they're... Yeah. Their stuff on abortion is very good. Their stuff on other issues, I'm a little more hit and miss with.
I will say this. I think John Henry Weston is one of just the loveliest men I know. He's just a very fine man.
Some of these sites I barely visit, but if I get an impression, then the impression sticks, I can tell you. I have to be honest with you. I am a little disappointed that we didn't get more votes for Ascension Press, because I actually think Ascension Press is a world beater.
I think they're doing great. The difficulty there is people don't know. I mean, they know Father Mike Schmitz, but they don't know that it's Ascension Press that's, you know, paying his check, writing his check.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, because all the stuff Jeff Cavins is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Father Mike Schmitz is just wonderful. Yeah. I still can't get over the fact that Bible in a Year was the number one podcast on the planet Earth. And that says something that we should all listen to, that people are, you know, you can get the clicks with the anger, you can get the clicks with the hypersexuality, you can get the, but people would like to hear the Word of God. So
where are my friends at the Pillar on this list?
Oh, they're on here. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mention the Pillar. Pillar probably about the same number as Ascension Press.
Because I mean, when I think of
in any kind of order.
No, I'm kind of basically EWTN and Catholic Answers got a lot of votes because it's our poll, and then everybody else got a smattering. So I'm not trying to rank them. There's not enough statistical significance there to rank them. I'm just telling you some of the other ones that were on there.
When I think of media in that sense of news, I think the Pillar is number one. They're doing a superb job with Catholic news.
I've been really struck by how often they break a story that nobody else is covering, and then it actually impacts the course of events in the world.
Yes.
Where, you know, it's easy to be like a cranky internet channel.
They're not cranky at the Pillar.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're doing is a lot harder.
No, they do the hard work. They're doing the reporting that everyone else comments on.
Yep.
Right.
Superb.
It's easy to say, here's this headline, let me talk about it. I mean, what we're literally doing right now, this doesn't take any work.
No,
I mean,
right.
I'll give one example. When they broke the story, actually, they were the only ones who had been covering the Betchu trial for forever and ever, as long as it was going on. When he finally got convicted,
the whole world covered it.
Yes, and it's Ed Condon who's giving a comment to the Guardian.
Yeah. But it's CNN level news at that point.
Yep.
You know, they're doing the hard work that. You're not going to get the secular media to do, certainly. Secular media reports impressionistically about the Catholic Church. You know, if something fits their impression, they'll report on it.
Yep.
And then they'll misreport on it. But the
right, if it fits or can be made to fit their impression.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
If you're not receiving the Pillar, you should sign up and you should send them a check. They're doing great work.
Yeah. And all right, well, that about does it. I think that covers pretty much everybody. I'll have to look into America Needs Fatima. I didn't know that. What's the word?
Well, they take the Fatima statue around and they hold rallies and things of this nature. But it is associated with tradition, family, property.
Oh, okay.
Are they out of Brazil or where were they from? Somewhere in Latin America.
I just want to reiterate, I'm a fan of Ascension Press. I think the work that they're doing is killing it. They have found their niche and they are filling it very, very well. But thank you to all of you who voted for Catholic Answers. That was the correct answer. When we come back, we polled people on the biggest news stories of the year, and I will ask our flannel panel, Chris Check, Joe Heschmeyer, about what they think of what people think of the big news stories of the year right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Saints Alive is a radio theater podcast for kids that tells the story of the saints, filled with adventure, heroism, virtue, and humor. You can hear Saints Alive, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free, at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTNradio.net/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. The flannel panel, Chris Check and Joe Heschmeyer with me today. Everybody remembered to wear their flannel.
Who's respecting you the most so far?
Are you aware that you're supposed to be keeping track of which of these guys is respecting me the most? Who is it? Any sense so far, or has it been equal disrespect? It's Jack? It's Jack on the video. Okay.
This is like us voting for Catholic Answers in our own poll.
We try to make the poll easy for people to take. And so one of the ways we did that this year is we gave them a scale. We named a news story and said, how much did you pay attention to this news story? I'll read you the actual. How much did you follow each story on a scale of 1 to 10? So this is about how much did you follow a news story. So here's what we'll do. I will say the news story. We picked a bunch of big news stories of the year, and then you tell me what you think where our listeners' average was between 1 and 10, okay?
Oh, good.
Does that make sense? So like a low number means I didn't pay attention to that at all. A high number means we were on this story. We couldn't stop listening to it.
Am I saying how much I followed it or how much I think our listeners followed it?
How much you think our listeners followed it. I'll ask you how much you followed it.
Okay.
All right?
One.
If it's any news story at all, Chris followed it. Unless it's Trader Joe's coming to Santee, he followed it not at all. On a scale of 1 to 10, our listeners, the big story, COVID this year, scale of 1 to 10, it got a lot of news coverage. It was one of the top covered stories of the year. How much did our listeners pay attention to it? Scale of 1 to 10. What do you say, Joe, our listeners?
I'm going to say 4.
4?
Especially because we're taking this at the end of the year. And so COVID news is forgotten for a lot of us.
Darren taught me a word before we went on the air called a phrase called recency bias. And we definitely see that. Like there's big stuff that happened this year that didn't even make our poll because people have forgotten about it by now.
I mean, it's why there's a term like Oscars season, because even people who are like, my job is to vote for the best movie are like, that movie came out this year?
Exactly,
job.
And what you should do is just vote for Die Hard every year. All right. So, Chris, COVID.
Two.
A two. Wow. And how much did you pay attention to it, Chris?
Zero.
Zero? Zero was not a choice. It's 1 to 10. But Joe, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you pay attention?
Probably about a two. Occasionally I was like, are people still worried about this?
Yeah.
So there was checking in on my neighbor kind of thing.
Our listeners, the average score was a 3.
Oh,
yeah. Hey,
I was closer.
So COVID is over then. I'm going to say COVID is over because nobody's paying attention to it. If Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check, and the Catholic Answers listeners cumulatively are at about a 3, then no.
I heard people saying back during COVID who took COVID extremely seriously. It wasn't the people who kind of blew it off from the start. It was the people who were very like, we need to change our whole life in response to this. And then when I heard them saying, during COVID, I was like, okay, well, if you think it's over.
Then it's over. Yeah, right.
And much of the rest of the world thought it was over like a year and a half ago or so.
Right. Where we live in Santee, it was just over. If you wore a mask, people are like, hey, partner, can I talk to you for a minute? Like, that's kind of how it went.
So I travel a great deal, and I tell you where this did cross my mind in the past year. And I'm in an airport, and I think there are people still wearing masks.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I wonder first of all, there were people before COVID who wore masks.
Right.
All right. And then
like bank robbers, doctors.
Bank robbers, yes. Whenever
traders.
Bank robbers would fly, they'd be wearing the mask. But now I wonder, are people wearing the mask because they're sick? Like, are they like, oh, I've got a little bit of a cold. I'm not going to expose people to this.
I think in which case,
they're saints. I love those
like
people.
The way they're supposed to work. Like, the mask isn't really keeping you from getting other people's sickness, but it reduces spit particles in the air from your own. And so even though it doesn't do that 100% effectively. There does seem to be some mitigation.
Oh, yeah.
Some, like, if somebody's sick and says, like, I want to wear a mask so I'm not freaking out my neighbor when I'm coughing,
yeah,
I'm fine with it.
I think that's fine, too. I think that's actually kind of nice. All right, how about this? Inflation and economic uncertainty. On a scale of 1 to 10, Chris Check, where did our listeners come down? How much did they pay attention to the story on a scale of 1 to 10? Inflation and economic uncertainty.
7.
And Joe?
Is that like a last year's 7? Because that's like a 13 this year.
Joe, with an inflation joke, nicely done.
Oh, thank you.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
I'll
Joe.
I'll say 8. I'll say 8.
8. And how much did you pay attention to it, Joe?
Somewhere between 7 and 8. Mostly because I was like, what is inflation?
Because you have 3 kids.
Yeah. We've been dealing with a different kind of inflation.
Yeah.
Like, number of kids in the house.
And Chris, how much did you pay attention to
it? I'm going to say probably 6 because I'm deeply interested in the housing problem in the United States.
I know.
This is, yeah, he really wants us to move to California. And I really want to be like, look,
no, but
Chris,
I think that that's a humane...
I can't move.
Like, one of the ways that a Christian should be worried about money is, can people afford places to live?
Oh, no, this is of great interest to me. And trying. In fact, they even had a correspondence I think I shared with you guys with some... Well, I was about to say a journalist at the Wall Street Journal who wrote a piece on why housing costs as much as it does, and he was completely wrong. And I sent him a note telling him that, and he said, and he wrote me a confused note back saying, "Oh, well, okay, well, that could be a factor too."
And what was the factor that you wanted?
Well, the thing that I explained to him is that there is a vast amount of the inventory that is owned by large corporations that rent these houses,
yeah.
and they're not for sale,
and they don't sell them. They're just off the market.
Exactly, and this actually is a grave moral problem. But yeah, I know. I'm personally interested. I would like to be able to have more people here on the staff living in Southern California. I'd like for my sons, who all have good jobs. I mean, good middle class jobs.
Here.
But I read yesterday, I read yesterday or this morning, 15% of the inventory in the United States is affordable to the mean income.
Oh, how can that be sustainable? Unless there are corporations that are taking the houses off the market, that's not sustainable.
Yes.
Unless you make the pool of available houses smaller. Look at me, Darren. I'm doing economy right now.
Yeah.
Because Darren's a trained financial advisor.
I know. Yes. Yeah. So the housing injustice.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it a crisis, because that makes it sound like, I don't know, we pass some legislation and fix it. There's an injustice going on,
right.
And it is a great interest to me. So probably more than most news stories.
Our listeners made it a 7. So you guys were both right on the money.
Wanted to say 7, but it was already taken. So I'm going to...
You could say...
You don't get to explain your answer after. No, I don't think that we allow explaining after.
So I'm winning. I'm winning.
Can I share something about the thing Chris was talking about?
Yeah,
he said it was of great interest. And
yeah.
we didn't even talk about interest, which also plays a role in. But the investor purchases of single family houses is something that is maybe the most avoidable part of the housing problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like right now, 22% of homes that were sold in 2022 went not to an individual, but to a corporation.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that's happened, even when individuals buy them,
those,
oh, sorry,
93% were under $300,000.
Yeah.
So the most affordable housing is being snatched up by investors who can offer more than you can.
Yeah. Wow.
So they can rent them.
Ordering people out at a huge rate. 93% of the houses they bought. And so, yeah, your supply of available houses goes down by a quarter or more, which means prices are up because you have a much smaller inventory to choose from, and you and every other first-time buyer and everybody else trying to buy a house.
Can you share?
Can I add one more thing that's happening in my neighborhood? Where I live, there's property on the beach, and a beach house...
Very relatable.
No, I just want to tell you, they go for like $3 or $4 million, and no one lives in them. No one lives in them. They are Airbnbs. The entire area near the beach is unpopulated by actual people.
This is another crisis.
This is, and I know that. I don't know. I don't want to get into it, but it's clearly
injustice.
you're taking housing away.
Yeah.
You're putting the housing into a rental market that even a person that you know wants to rent can't rent because it's now an Airbnb.
Joe, what's the source for that data that you just gave? That's really helpful.
Yeah, so there are a couple different ones. Today's homeowner.com talked about the 22%. New York Times talked about the 93% of homes bought by corporations. And that was 2021 data. that I imagine it's very similar.
Or worse.
I have to take off the bumper sticker on my car that says I don't believe the New York Times. All right, the Ukraine war is next. On a scale of 1 to 10, where did our listeners, how much did they pay attention to the Ukraine war? That's what we're asking. You just say, how much did you pay attention to this story on a scale of
7. I'm going to say 7.
All right.
I'm going to say 5.
All right, and how about yourselves personally? How much did you pay attention to it?
I would say I was probably at like a 5 or 6 and wish I'd been more at a 7. I'd periodically be like, oh, I have not been following that very well.
Okay.
Because it's no longer like front and center.
Chris?
I was probably a 4.
You were probably personally a 4. All right, I'll tell you what, because the music is playing, we now have ourselves a tease. You got to wait around until we get through the following messages. And I'll let you know where our listeners came down. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you pay attention to the war in Ukraine in 2023? And lots more right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Are you scared to talk about abortion? Don't worry, almost everyone is. You can overcome this fear, as Trent Horn shows in the newly revised and expanded second edition of Persuasive Pro-Life. With a little knowledge and a few proven techniques, you can become a bold and effective apologist for life. Visit shop.catholic.com to order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life and never again be afraid to speak up. Also available at good Catholic bookstores.
Guest Week wraps up as we ring in the new year.
You can join us Monday on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Happy Old Year. That's a new thing I'm trying to get started, where you say Happy Old Year at the end of the year.
Don't worry,
you say,
it won't last for much longer.
It's going to catch on. I think this is going to catch on. And then we're going to go back and look at this, and we're going to say, Cy started that. Happy Old Year. Joe Heschmeyer with us, Chris Check with us. It's the Flannel Panel. We're doing the big end of the year show. We have surveyed our listeners and asked them about the big news stories of the year. We're presenting the results to Joe and Chris and getting their comments on it. We asked, before we went to the break, how much, on a scale of 1 and 10, did our listeners pay attention to the war in Ukraine this year? And the answer is 6. They gave it a 6.
Mm. What did I guess? 5? 4?
You said 4, I think.
No, I said 4.
What did I guess?
I guess 5 of our listeners.
You guessed 7, Joe. You said 7 right off the bat. So you were...
Oh, maybe I guessed 6.
And we're not using...
I guessed 6.
We're not using the price.
Can we roll that tape again?
If you two disrespect me... This will come out at the end of the show. There will be a report on your disrespect during these 2 hours.
I've gotten everyone exactly right so far.
Here's the thing is, I think war...
I think we can throw him off the ballot for challenging the results like this. He's off the ballot for best...
insurrection?
Joe, what are you trying to do? Good Lord, Joe.
What are you guys talking about?
All right. For those of you listening around the world, that was a joke about American politics.
I think they know.
You know,
know.
It's funny. People around the world do follow American politics.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do. Well, I do know why they do. We will bomb them. But Just wait, Australia. It's coming. All right. The problem with war.
They lost to emus. You can't be mean to them.
They did not. Oh, they lost. They did lose
the
emu
war. And they did win the war.
Why do you put people down, Joe? They tried. No one else has tried an emu war.
That's true.
You know what?
If we declared war on the emus in America, we'd win.
Well, there's no way those emus would beat us. All right, but we got another war, the Israel-Hamas war. A scale of 1 to 10, how did people follow that, our listeners? What do you say?
I'm going to say a 9.
9, Chris?
I probably
said
8.
Yeah, it's 9.
It's 8, actually, and I didn't even ask you your views on that one, because I'm going quick now. I'm trying to work through some stuff.
I'm glad. I've been hearing you need to.
Yeah, my therapist is here in the room with us.
The loss of life there is so staggering.
Here's the thing. This is the lesson to learn. Tragic. If you're going to have a war, everyone's going to pay attention until there's a different war, and then they're not going to pay attention. Here's another war, another rule about war. And this I mean sarcastically, but I also mean this morally. If you have a war in Africa, doesn't matter how many people die.
I was about to say, nobody's going to pay attention. Everyone pays attention until the next one. I don't think the Democratic Republic of the Congo agrees with
I know, you. Really. We're obsessed with other wars while Africans die in huge numbers, and we don't even bat an eye. So
I had a very eye-opening conversation with an Uber driver 2 days ago who had served 20 years in Afghanistan, which is a crazy thing to even think. Like, he's been most of the 20 years in Afghanistan on the ground talking to people. And his perspective on which wars we care about, which ones we don't, was troubling. You know,
it was troubling. Yeah. So there you have it. Probably enough war talk for the end of the year. The U.S. presidential election, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did people pay attention to it? On a scale of 1 to 10, our listeners polled, how much were they paying attention to the U.S. presidential election?
At least a 7, our listeners.
Whatever they say, I think the answer is a 9 or a 10. I'm going to say 9. But like,
well, you guys split it. It's an 8.
Okay.
I said at least a 7, which is another way of saying 8.
Right.
You're like, it is an integer.
You guys really take this seriously. You know there's no prize at the end of this. Yeah, but you guys are playing for pride. Yeah, it's an 8. I mean, I'm not looking forward to 2024 in the political realm. Let me just put it that way. And I told Chris already, I gave up TV for 2024. I haven't lived a single day of 2024, so I don't know if I'm going to live up to any of this. But I don't want to see any of it. I don't want to be part of it. I hope it doesn't even happen.
It is funny. Your listeners have much more interest in politics than you do.
Oh, yeah? You think so? I mean, the problem is I get hooked in, and then I start getting mad at people. And then I lose my peace in Christian charity. And I know that a lot of saints counsel never, ever lose your Christian peace and charity. You're better to have that than to have anything else. But what were you going to say, Joe?
Well, just that I don't think you need to follow it. Besides the fact...
Yeah, like I'm not going to have any effect on it.
I've said this before. Right, you're not going to have an effect on it. It's extremely unlikely you're going to hear some news story that makes you change your whole vision of who you would vote for.
Yeah.
So you can't even say, well, I need to get informed on the issues. No, you don't. You already know what you're going to do. And I think that's true not just of you, Si, but like people listening.
Yeah.
Like, think honestly, how much of this is actually for my edification and how much of this is just infotainment? Because I don't think it makes us better people. Like,
that's a very good point, Joe. Yeah.
When I've been away on a retreat or something and haven't had access to my phone, I'm never like, oh no, I don't understand the world around me. I'm like a much saner, healthier clear-eyed person.
And many people feel they have a moral obligation to watch the news or to pay attention to the news, and you do not. There is no moral obligation to pay attention to these people that are feeding you not fake news, but news of their selection. That's what I would
say. Well, and also, I mean, a lot of this goes back to Ted Turner, like the 24-hour news cycle with the creation
of
CNN. Yeah, there just wasn't 24 hours worth of news we actually cared about. Now, if you wanted to, you could say, here are all these things going on in the world.
Like, you could report on Africa.
Them, but you're right.
If CNN was a real news network, it could report on Africa. It's not a real news network. It doesn't report on the actual stuff that's happening in the world.
Right. They report on the stuff that gets eyes or gets clicks. And I understand that they're a business. But once you realize that, you know, this isn't the BBC. It's not paid for by your tax dollars. It is trying to give you stuff that'll keep you interested and engaged. One of the easiest ways to get you engaged is to make you angry or self-righteous.
Yeah.
And so it is built as a model. It doesn't matter which party, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, who you name it, The model exists to make you a worse person because you get addicted to it, and that's how they make money.
All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did our listeners pay attention to the story of climate change this year? Climate change on a scale of 1 to 10.
Only positive numbers are accepted?
Yes, only positive numbers are.
I'm going to say a 2.
All right.
I'm going to say 2 also.
Wow. Did you guys read? Did someone tell you? It's a 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the lowest number on the entire poll. Our listeners.
Well, there are ones also, right? No one just chose them.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It just means that, I mean, to get a 2 as your average, it means that, I mean, some people chose 3 as their number out of our, you know, the.
The activists,
the real Catholic Answers listener activists, our listeners are not paying attention to the climate change news. You both seem shocked by this. Let me just throw that out there. You both
totally
seem shocked
stunned.
By this.
We both accurately got the number, but I was trying to think what major news there had been.
There was a big conference on it. They had a big conference on it in
Saudi Arabia.
Was it in Saudi Arabia? That's funny, right in itself, but. They had a big conference on it.
Yeah. I didn't even know.
All right, let's before we have to take our break, let's do one of the four big categories. The four big categories are pro-life person of the year, Catholic person of the year, news story of the year, and something else that I'm forgetting right now. What is it, Darren, the fourth one? I can't remember. Oh, it's Catholic media source of the year. And that was us, Catholic Answers. Our own listeners picked us. Thank you once again.
So, are we guessing what the main stories are and all that? Are you going to give us multiple choice?
No, it's not a multiple choice. This is an open-ended one where we just say to people, "What is the biggest?" And then fill in the blank. And so, I'm asking you, pro-life person of the year. Who is the pro-life person of the year? Some years it was very easy. Some years it is very hard. So
I can think of 3 possibilities. Who's going first on this one?
I'm trying to think what the big pro-life story was, because it was actually not happy news mostly.
Yeah, it's negative, right?
Yeah, it was states deciding to kill babies.
Yeah,
and middle American states. I mean, that's right. It's the heartbreak there.
Yeah, right.
Everyone expects California to kill babies, but not Ohio.
I know you expect Ohio at least to be circumspect about it, like have some kind of...
Yeah, but the margins, like in Kansas 2 years ago, and then in Ohio, it was... I was talking to a close friend of mine about Ohio, and she said, it has to have been rigged I don't think she really thought that it was, but that was the only way that she could comprehend that, you know, middle Americans could vote so enthusiastically and by such margins...
Right.
To kill babies.
Well, how do the two of you make sense of that? What do you think is the lesson? What does it all mean?
I think there's a few things. I think number one, a lot of people who are politically conservative on other issues in their heart of hearts are fine with abortion or want it available for them or want it available for their kids and aren't fully convinced, actually stopping abortion is going to be the best solution for... Maybe they're uncomfortable with how frequently abortions are performed, mm-hmm. but they're not ready to just say, this is an evil we have to stand up to. Okay. I think number two, there's a strong libertarian streak in the middle of the country. And I know here in Kansas, that was a major issue. A lot of people were in the I'm personally opposed crowd, but I don't want the government cracking down. And the pro-choice side, at least in Kansas, ran this from a libertarian perspective, saying stop government intervention. And that was kind of how they were presenting it. Now, they have no moral principles or they wouldn't say that, because they don't actually believe that on any other issue.
Sure.
But they presented it from a libertarian perspective, and I think very successfully. And third, I think we just have gotten too complacent as pro-lifers. Meaning, for a long time, the focus was single-mindedly on how do we overturn Roe v. Wade? How do we reform the judiciary? Those are good goals.
Yep.
But if we're not also saying, how do we do the infinitely harder work of converting our neighbor, changing hearts and minds, and making the case, then once Roe v. Wade's gone, it turns out people were actually pretty happy with it.
Yeah, if I can underscore especially Joe's last point there, sort of the failure of believers. And in fact, this is why Catholic Answers published that booklet last year that Trent wrote for us, Why We're Pro-Life. We've given away almost 500,000 copies of that book.
Yeah.
We have offered that booklet to any parish priest who promises to pass it out. And I mean, the response that we've received, I don't know, 5% of the people or parishes that we offered it to.
Yeah.
And so this points to the larger thing that I'm going to say explains what's going on. And it's what my friend Michael Hanby called in an article in The Lamp a couple issues ago, Christian atheism. And he starts with a quote from Charles Peguy, where he says, you know, these people don't believe what they believe. And I think that is, I think that absolutely describes, we have a sense of religion, we have a sense of Christian principles, but almost no sense of the transcendent, and certainly not an integrated sense of what this means for the way that we live. And so here's a perfect example of someone who's disintegrated, Father James Martin. I actually think Father James Martin believes in God and believes in Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes. I think you're right.
I feel very strongly that he does. And yet, he is a public advocate of immoral behavior.
Of things that Christ himself spoke against.
Yes, yeah. Precisely. So how can somebody be so disintegrated? And our friend Simone Riscala. It's one of those. Yeah,
you'll get it.
I don't ever want to know. So she has a great line. She says, "Oh, well, he's a Christian who actually believes in Jesus Christ, or she's a Christian who actually believes in Jesus Christ." Yeah. And so this is. I highly recommend, go to the LAMP website. I think it's probably up there. Another great Catholic media source, by the way. Look up Michael Hanby's piece on Christian atheism, and that actually explains what's going on. There are a lot of Christians who live like atheists.
It does remind me of Pope Benedict, before he was even a cardinal or a bishop, wrote a piece on paganism, the new paganism. I think it was in the late 1950s he wrote it. And this idea that, you know, we're baptizing people, but people don't know what they're baptized. They're just doing a pagan ritual. It might as well be a pagan ritual. They don't know what they're being baptized into. All right, I'm going to give you some information on the pro-life person of the year. Let me tell you some people who got mentioned, and then I'll tell you the top three vote getters. Ron DeSantis got mentioned. Bishop Joseph Strickland got mentioned. Donald Trump got mentioned. Mark Hauck got mentioned. Kristen Hawkins, who I have become kind of a fan of, Kristen Hawkins. I don't know Sean Carney. Do you all know Sean Carney?
Up in Omaha?
I don't know. I don't know who they're referring to. Oh, 40 Days for Life. Wonderful. Yeah, yeah.
Texas, I believe.
Any comments on any of those?
40 Days for Life does incredible work.
They do.
I think they get the problem in a way few other pro-life groups do. Or pro-life, you know, there's a lot of people who say, I'm pro-life and I vote pro-life. But are you praying in abortion? Are you doing it in this way where you're also inviting conversation?
Yeah. Do you believe that there's a role for the supernatural in this fight?
Yes.
And 40 Days for Life does.
Yeah. All right. Here's the top three pro-life person of the year as voted on by Catholic Answers listeners. The first one might have moved up from the third position, but the name was given in two different ways. It was given as Mr. Frank Pavone and Father Frank Pavone, and the computer counted those as two different names.
Can I push back?
He's been a discredit to the pro-life cause.
That would appear to be
the case. I'm sorry, he's done great work in the past, but open disobedience from the bishop, living in a different state than your ordinary, and then getting laicized in a totally avoidable spiritual catastrophe.
Yeah.
I don't see how. I'm not waving any Frank Pavone banners.
I have to say, there is a certain loyalty among pro-life people that I do think is laudable in many ways and may be abused in this case. That look, if you've fought for babies, they're going to fight for you. They're going to fight. And
I think that's a good read and charitable. But, you know, they see the past work you've done,
right?
And they're saying, we don't want to give up on him. And I mean, people have been spiritually helped. I mean, there are people who, after Father Carapi's whole scandal, for years would be talking about how he was maligned and still publicly kind of saying that. But I think it was coming from a place of an intense loyalty.
Well, when someone has been instrumental in the salvation of your soul, you're not gonna easily go, yeah, this person had another side to them. you know?
Yeah.
Right. Jesus doesn't have another side to him. You can always cling to Jesus without fear of that. But sometimes I think we think if we admit the other side of this, whoever this person is that brought us to Jesus, then that might mean that Jesus has a dark side as well, and we don't want that. And you can just be confident. He doesn't. He's the Lord. He doesn't. I do want to get to the top two before I have to take a break. Number two, Mr. Trent Horn.
He's great. And he keeps getting better.
So does that mean there's a rose on top of this?
By any other name, Lila Rose is number one. That brings us to the break. We will take a quick break, and we will continue to review our end-of-year survey, where we survey our listeners on their views of what happened in 2023. Happy Old Year. We'll be right back with more of the Flannel Panel on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
As the largest religious media network in the world, EWTN has an important role in educating others about our Catholic faith and spreading the good news of salvation. We invite you to explore our numerous pages of historical faith documents, prayers, teachings, and other current issues in Catholicism today. Visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. If you missed the first 45 minutes of this show, hit rewind on your radio because it was a sparkling first 45 minutes. And do they have TiVo for radio? They should have TiVo for radio. They don't have that, do they?
You know, we have like an actual app.
It's called a podcast. We turn this into a podcast.
I'm talking about radio. I'm talking about people in their car. You should be able to hit a rewind button in your car.
Like, Revo.
Because do you ever do this? Like you're listening to something? Like, I don't know. Let's say you're listening to EWTN radio. And then you kind of blank out and waste some time on paying attention to the road. And then you go, oh, I just missed that, and I think that they were making a good point. I wish I could rewind this. You don't all don't.
I've had that happen, and the opposite where I like miss my turn because I'm listening to the radio.
Yeah, right.
So yeah.
I'm against that, Si.
You're against listening to the radio?
No.
Oh, you're rewinding
your technology. I'm against your technology. Smash the servers.
All right. Are you against eyeglasses or just
no? It's just the servers.
Okay. Yeah. This group, the Flannel Panel, is taking a cruise June 29th through July 6th.
That's the big news of 23.
Oh, this should be the big news story of 2023.
I thought it was.
Oh, no, I gave it away. It's not the big...
It's not actually in 2023.
Oh, yeah, it's in 2024. The decision was made in 2023. June 29th through July 6th on the Holland America lines. We're starting in Montreal. We're visiting many of the wonderful Catholic sites in the eastern part of Canada, including... Quebec City and Saint-Anne-de-Beaupré, and we're having wonderful conversation, fellowship, masses with Father Paul Jerome Keller, and then two very fine scholars, in addition to Chris Check and Joe Heschmeyer, Dr. William Fahey and Dr. Amy Fahey, giving talks. They're wonderful. I don't know Dr. Amy Fahey, but I know Dr. William Fahey, and if she's anything like him, a lot of great conversation.
She's very different from him.
Is she very different
from him? Well, she's a girl.
Well, she can probably still hold her end in a conversation.
She's brilliant.
I don't know what you're saying about women in conversation,
no,
Chris. I'm feeling like maybe there's going to need to be a reprimand in your future.
There what? some training, some counseling.
I think HR is on their way over.
Yes. Yeah.
Step one of Amy Fahey
is brilliant. And she's going to talk about Willa Cather's book, Shadows on the Rock.
Oh, wonderful.
Which takes place in colonial Quebec.
Just go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com. And until the Feast of the Epiphany on January 6th, you can get a discount when you use a promo code. What's the promo code, Joe?
It's like S something LC150.
It's don't do any of those things that Joe just said. Ignore that. The promo code is Pope Peter. We named it after his book, Pope Peter.
Oh, there was a weird one Jen gave us last time you asked me. So I didn't know you'd asked her for that, and she gave me a bizarre one that was like letters and numbers.
Yeah, I said let's use something easier, Jen. So Pope Peter is the promo code. When you go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com, use the promo code Pope Peter when you sign up between now and January 6th and get yourself a discount. And come on, we're going to have a great time.
This is exactly...
NL150, that's the old code. I just found it.
This is exactly right. We're imagine if you could spend 8-9 days with Joe Heschmeyer and Cy Kellett.
Don't imagine that.
Feels like they're
imagine
doing
it
that right
with
now.
Dr. William and Amy Fahey. Doctors yeah. William, maybe
on a beautiful boat. This boat was refit, I think, in 2019. So it's all.
Oh, here's Father Paul Jerome Keller. We're on the air, and I'm trying to get him to talk about the cruise. You know, promote the cruise, and he goes, "I can't swim." I was like, "That has nothing to do with going on a cruise, Father. We're not going to sink."
Oh, I thought they
don't say hopefully, Joe. While we're trying to invite people to come on the cruise,
don't you have to pass a swim test to go?
You don't have to pass any tests to go.
CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
Use the promo code
Pope Peter.
There you.
You can try NL150 to see if it works. Still, I don't think it does.
Use the promo code. Pope Peter when you sign up. All right, well, what we did was we surveyed our listeners, as we do at the end of the year, and we tallied up the results, and we've got the results for you. And so we did a section where we asked how people were feeling about certain things. So I realize that neither of you believes in the value of feelings. You're both very mean people, but we did ask our listeners.
My wife is a therapist and is constantly fighting this battle. She may win.
And what's the battle? Like, feelings matter? Does she tell you
that? Yeah, feelings tell you stop discrediting feelings.
Really?
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, good for her. I'm on her side of this. I do believe people's feelings matter. So we asked them.
I mean, logically, she's right, but I don't feel it.
Okay, Joe. We asked them, Darren, I'm having trouble finding it, so maybe I might need your help.
Joe's losing the disrespect thing.
He is. I think Joe's losing the disrespect thing, yes. All right, I found it. I found the sheet you gave me, Darren. Thank you. All right, how do you feel about the following on a scale of 1 to 10? The life of your parish, the overall health of the church, the state of the world, and the state of the United States. That's what we asked people. So let's start with the life of your parish. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do our listeners feel about the life of their parish?
5.
Joe says 5, you say? We need some music for when they're thinking.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna, I think 5 is a good guess, or 4. No, you know what, I'm gonna say 6. I changed my number, 6. I think
was
some
that based on my facial expression?
You're good at speaking out a lot of numbers.
I know, now he can say, I said all of those, 4, 5, and 6.
6.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's an even.
That's my final answer.
All right, let me share a little bit of good news with you as we celebrate Happy Old Year.
I knew
today.
It's 8.
It is 8.
I knew it.
You knew it. Yes, it's 8. People like their parish, and they're happy about their parish. How do you feel about the following? The life of your parish, they said 8.
Can I suggest one reason why this is true?
Yes.
I think that Catholic Answers Live listeners, some portion of that demographic are doing some parish shopping.
So, oh, you think so?
Yes.
Oh.
So, so for example, Joe Heschmeyer belongs to...
Why are you always putting people out there on Front Street?
Well, you know, like, I've been to Kansas City.
How'd you like that? The use of that phrase, Joe.
What does that mean? Is that like
no? That's what cool people say. They say things like putting you on Front Street.
Okay.
I know what the cool people say. I have Netflix.
I'm down.
Hello, fellow teenagers.
All right. So what's
Joe
what you're going to say about Joe?
Heschmeyer belongs to. Is a member of a great parish in Kansas City. What's it called, Joe?
Our Lady of Good Counsel.
And it's one of it is one of these parishes where people come from other parish boundaries. Now this
we drive 25 minutes and we're not unusual.
Yeah.
Well, you are unusual, but you
there.
Also
drive. But amongst those parishioners, we're totally normal.
I'm going to propose an additional theory to this. Something that I learned this year traveling in New Zealand, Australia, to places that you've never heard of. The Catholic Church has wonderful priests. There are magnificent priests out there doing saintly work, and no one knows about it except their parishioners.
I mean, people also tend to like their congressmen while hating Congress. So there's probably also a local effect too. The one you know, you have a higher esteem
sure
for than
who my congressman
one of the news.
Is.
I think your congressman is currently in jail.
Oh, I think so.
You can look that up. I think that's actually true.
Is it
true.
Duncan? What's his name?
I don't want to talk about it. Well, you're putting him on Front Street again. Okay. You're putting everybody on Front Street.
I'd love to be on the street.
We gotta take a quick break.
Can he vote from jail?
We'll continue with the survey of the big stories of the year from Catholic Answers listeners with Joe Heschmeyer and Chris Check right after this on Catholic Answers Live.